Heavenly Father, we are grateful that we can come together this morning to worship you. We bring you praise and glory and honor this day. Father, we also come with an eagerness to hear you speaking to us through your word. We ask that you would do that now, that you would help us to hear the things that we need to hear this morning, and to allow you to shape our lives in the way that only you can do. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. Well, I've discovered another real-life human hero this fall. His name is Jim McInvale. Does anybody recognize it? You may have heard him referred to as Mattress Mac. Does that help? A couple of people. It didn't help people at 7:30 either. If you don't know him, he is the owner of Gallery Furniture Stores in Houston, Texas. Following Hurricane Harvey, he opened his stores to people whose homes had been flooded or wiped out, giving them a place to sleep at night. Which, now you understand his name, Mattress Mac, okay. While grateful, no one in Houston was especially surprised by Mattress Mac doing that, because such things really are a pattern in his life. This past Thursday, for example, he provided Thanksgiving dinner for 20,000 people. I thought I had a crowd. On the store's website, it gives some background on their founder. It says, Jim has always believed in God, country, family, and hard work. Apparently, his life motto is, grateful for everything, entitled to nothing. His gratitude for all God has given him moves him to share with others. When he sees real human need, he has demonstrated a pattern of offering real human help. That is a mark of the people of God. Well, this morning we conclude our three-week segment reflecting on the facet of faith which involves anticipating our Lord's return. Contrary to the accusation that Christians are so heavenly minded they are no earthly good, we find those believers most mindful of the kingdom of heaven are in fact the most involved with doing good. Our faithfulness as followers of Jesus will move us to the same kind of mindset, motive, and method as we hear about with people like Mattress Mac. Being sheep will lead to being real. The very point made by Jesus in today's lesson from the Gospel of Matthew. We're on page 861, if you want to follow. In this passage, Jesus describes for us the scene at the end of time when he returns in glory, as we confess in the Creed, to judge the living and the dead. Jesus is speaking, he says, but when the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the angels with him, then he will sit on his glorious throne. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate them one from another as the shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. For starters, let me point out three quick things this morning. First, note that Jesus does not say if he comes, but when he comes. It is the consistent teaching of the scriptures. Jesus will come again as King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and all will see his glory. It is going to happen. He will come again. Second, Jesus does not say some of the nations, but all of the nations will be gathered before him. Everybody who has ever lived in any place that has ever existed will come before Jesus on this last and final day of judgment. Each and every person will face him. And then third, Jesus does not say all will end up in the same category, but that there will be a distinction between those in fellowship with him and those who are not. He will separate believers from non-believers, followers from rejectors, sheep from goats. The sheep will hear, come you who are blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. On the other hand, the goats will hear, "Depart from me, accursed ones, into the eternal fire which has been prepared for the devil and his angels." Jesus will carry out his righteous judgment. Well, in this immediate context, Jesus does not explain how we are made his sheep. That is addressed elsewhere, but not here. And yet here, he clearly identifies some key ways for us to live as his sheep. Living as sheep of the Good Shepherd is not abstract or imaginary, but very real. Our love for him feeding our love for others. It includes being responsive to human need. The hungry, the thirsty, the stranger, the naked, the sick, those in prison, those are physical realities which evoke compassionate response from those who are followers of Jesus. Those things also have their spiritual corollaries, which draw out the same kind of compassionate response from us. Real needs evoking real response from real sheep. Well, as I have been prayerfully mulling this over for today, two things have stood out for our particular context here at St. Paul's. First, in many ways, we are living as sheep in responding to various physical human needs. Please understand, I'm not suggesting we do this perfectly. While we cannot each respond to every human need in the world, we do tend to gravitate toward responses within our respective comfort zones. As long as we live in this world, we are always going to have room for growth, no question about it. Having acknowledged that, however, there are all kinds of things we can point to as indicative of living as sheep of the Good Shepherd. Our regular efforts in conjunction with the soup kitchen and Project Outreach, with Genesis Pregnancy Care Center and St. Barnabas Shelter, World Vision and Heifer Project, hosting the Serenity Sisters Group, those are part of the fabric of our lives. In addition, more occasional efforts in support of Samaritan's Purse and the Frederick Douglass Christian School, those things demonstrate the same pattern. Those are just some of the more official things, complemented by countless unofficial efforts engaged in by folks more quietly. That's the first thing that has stood out to me. The second thing that stands out, in many ways, we are challenged in responding to spiritual human needs. Using the word quite differently, we tend to be sheepish rather than sheep-like in this category. All around us are people with spiritual needs, hungering for God's word, thirsting for God's presence, lonely for fellowship with God's people, seeking to be clothed in righteousness, ailing or imprisoned by their ongoing struggle with sin. We are called to give real responses to those very real needs, which often run more deeply than any physical need. For some reason, we tend to be more apprehensive about such things. Maybe because they seem less tangible or because we feel ill-equipped. But the Lord has promised to help us overcome our sheepishness to live like his authentic sheep. If we are willing to be equipped, he will equip us for the work he has for us to do. Faithful responses will take different shapes. Speaking of God's word that has spoken to us. Simply praying with a hurting friend, even when we don't know what to say to fix it. Inviting people to come with us as we spend time with other believers at church or in our own living rooms. Sharing our own growing pains, even as we risk pointing to the fruit in our lives. Bearing witness to our salvation in Christ and the forgiveness that has healed our souls. Being real with people about how real God is with us. The vision God has given us here at St. Paul's points to this very kind of response. You know what it is? to work together as followers of Jesus, carrying the word of God to our community, helping the lost come to faith in Jesus so all may see his transforming work in their lives. In other words, we are seeking to live as his sheep in real and tangible ways. The new Vision Leadership Team, beginning to meet this Tuesday evening, will serve to help us pursue that in all we do as a parish, continuing the work that God has started in our midst. Please pray for those involved, for Tom Canning, Judy Lyon, Stephanie Wright, and myself as we undertake this work. But remember something, it is a work for the whole parish, involving each and every one of us, not just four people. One thing that is clear from today's passage is that the judgment rendered by Jesus when he returns will not be an arbitrary process. For all of us, our actions will demonstrate whether or not we are sheep of the King. And we know the actions don't earn us our place. That comes by grace through faith in Jesus as our Savior. In fact, the actions can be done by wolves in sheep costumes. But that doesn't change this. Those who are real sheep will live their lives in real ways consistent with the character of our Shepherd King. To be sheep means that we live with him as our shepherd, and so live as our shepherd would have us live. The promise he makes to his sheep is that he has already reserved for them an inheritance, as he put it, prepared for you from the foundation of the world. Think about that, folks. The inheritance that God has prepared for you has been prepared from before the foundation of the world. That was a long time ago. Which is why the Apostle Paul affirms in his letter to the Romans that we are heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ, and we will share his glory. The Holy Spirit has already been given to us as a deposit, a down payment on our full inheritance. The ancient Greek word used meaning deposit is the same word used today for an engagement ring. Do you see the connection? It's a token of a relationship now entered upon, which promises a fuller union yet to come. In that context, we look forward to immortal resurrection bodies. Collectively, we will be part of a new city, a victorious kingdom, the great wedding feast of the Lamb. In that place, in that time, there will be no more need as we dwell in the full presence and fellowship of God. Last week, we learned about those who will hear the Master's voice saying, "Well done, good and faithful servant, enter into the joy of your Master." Well, in similar fashion today, we learn of those who will hear the King saying, "Come, you who are blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world." Promises given by our Master, our Good Shepherd, who is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, to those who live their real lives as his real sheep. Some years ago, I came across the story about a missionary named Henry Morrison. Morrison had served faithfully for 40 years in the African mission field. Returning home to the United States by ship, he learned that President Theodore Roosevelt was on the same ship. As they entered the New York Harbor, President Roosevelt received a great fanfare from gathered crowds. You would expect that, right? But Morrison was somewhat perturbed that he didn't get similar recognition coming home from 40 years in the Lord's service. Then a small, still voice came to Henry Morrison saying, "Henry, you are not home yet." No reward or accolade we might look for here on earth can ever measure up to our inheritance from God. So we can see today's lesson in one of two ways. As a passage of doom and gloom, describing judgment on those having turned away from God, those who will face eternal punishment. Or we can see it as full of promise and hope, describing in the inheritance already reserved for those who trust in Jesus as Savior and follow Him as Lord, people who are sheep of the King. Being real with Jesus does have real implications for our lives, for today and for eternity. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we confess before you this morning that sometimes we don't feel very much like your sheep. We get distracted too easily. But Father, you keep calling us back to yourself. And we hear your voice calling again this morning, and we thank you for that gracious work that you do in our lives. Father, help us to hear your voice clearly and respond faithfully. Help us to live as your sheep in real ways for your real kingdom. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.